So ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, and the theme song for Mr. Marvin Gaye is asking the question, what's going on? And there is so much going on, ladies and gentlemen. And this Saturday morning on Mic Check, yes, as we journey on down to Jamaica, we're trying to get some clarity and we're trying to get some more information of what's really going on in Jamaica. Mic Check this Saturday morning, sparking global changes. The Integrity Commission, the IC, their report on Prime Minister is now Dr. Andrew Michael Olness, was tabled in Parliament. But ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very troubling, with many questions, more questions than answers, ladies and gentlemen. So joining me this morning is investigative journalist from the founder and CEO of 18 Degrees North, Miss Zara Burton, has now joined us. So let me go down to Jamaica and say good morning to Zara Burton. Good morning, Zara. How are you?
Good morning, Russ Clement. Good morning to your listeners.
How is Jamaica this morning, Zara? And how are you doing, Zara?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, thank you. I just came from having a walk this morning up Mountain Spring, which I've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
First and last. Nobody will have to ever do that one.
Why is it the last? Why is it the last?
It's tough. It's a really tough hill. It's uphill most of the climb.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this was new to me. I had never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've decided that that was the last occasion.
Wow. That's one.
I like to exercise, but this one took a toll.
Wow. So how is Jamaica itself doing this morning, Zara Burton?
Well, as you said, we're still digesting the Integrity Commission report. It came out on the 17th. It was tabled in the Parliament,
mm-hmm.
September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are still dealing with some of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, there was, I just read it in the papers this morning, a report out of the Senate
mm-hmm.
where the opposition senator, Lambert Brown, he had wanted to get the issue of, there's a particular provision
mm-hmm.
of the POCA, the Proceeds of Crime Act,
mm-hmm.
that speaks about illicit enrichment. In other words, if your assets do not match
mm-hmm.
your income,
mm-hmm.
you'll have to be able to explain it. Otherwise, you could be guilty of illicit enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prime Minister, after this report came out, is seeking a judicial review
mm-hmm.
to essentially get this judge, a judge,
mm-hmm.
to declare that this particular section of the legislation is unconstitutional. So Lambert Brown was challenging him yesterday on that to bring it to the Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that we, in the Integrity Commission report, didn't get a finding of fact and a conclusion when it came to the issue of illicit enrichment. Sorry, I'm panting. I just came upstairs.
That's okay.
We didn't get a conclusion. There was a question mark still
mm-hmm.
on whether there was an illicit enrichment by the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
The Integrity Commission had recommended that the FID probe it further.
Mm-hmm.
So, this report was triggered by the 2021 statutory declaration of assets and liabilities and income of the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
His 2020 had been previously certified. His previous years had been previously certified. And the 2021
mm-hmm.
report was what triggered the investigation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they did their investigation at the IC level, they determined that there was no unexplained wealth for 021. However, 022, which was also widened to include, the investigation was widened to include 22, found merely 1.9 million Jamaican dollars
mm-hmm.
of unexplained wealth.
Mm-hmm.
That equates to, let's say, less than 15,000 US dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the FID, they said, should probe whether there was illicit enrichment.
No.
The one thing that was sorted mm-hmm. was that there was no charge against the Prime Minister mm-hmm. when it came to false statements made in his declaration. Because in the declarations he had made, he did not include about four accounts that were shared with his parents or with a former constituency worker. Mm-hmm. So even though they decided at the investigation of the commission level mm-hmm. that those have not been declared and so he should be charged, the Director of Corruption Prosecution within the Integrity Commission said, we're not going to charge him for that because we could not mount a case that it was intentional that he did not put these accounts in his statutory declaration. Mm-hmm. So what remains outstanding is a referral to the FIB and the TAJ, Tax Administration of Jamaica, regarding the issue of illicit enrichment and also the issue of whether there was any kind of tax evasion mm-hmm. or tax laws broken because several companies tied to the Prime Minister were reporting nil returns
wow.
at a time when there were millions of dollars running through these companies.
Mm-hmm.
Nil returns just means zero. That you're saying you have zero activity, mm-hmm. zero liability,
mm.
tax liability. However, I want to point out that various different tax persons, and I too am in the mix, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where in the States, sometimes you'll have an extension that you can apply for.
Yes.
We don't have that extension kind of program.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a nil return. Sometimes it's seen as you can do it,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the tax authorities might tell us differently from now on, you can't do it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you sometimes file a nil return to say, I don't have any tax liability or I don't have any activity because your accounts aren't ready for the particular March 15th deadline,
mm-hmm.
you can, once your accounts are ready, let's just say a month or two later, you amend those returns and you let them know that you had activity and had this income or loss, whatever the case might be, is.
Right.
Now, I want to point out, even though he had nil returns for one of the companies, Imperium, from the report, it was very clear to me that the income declared to the Integrity Commission, not to the tax authorities,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed to me like there was a loss. So I'm not sure there was a tax liability for that particular company.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to me, though, the other companies that filed nil returns, and these are not amended like a month or two later. These are at least two years of nil returns. So that's a problem. And so the Integrity Commission's Director of Investigation had said the TAJ needs to look into this issue of these nil returns that were filed, and the FIB needs to look into the issue of illicit enrichment.
Okay, now, the statutory declaration is what triggered all of this. The lateness of these declaration. And then we're hearing a lot about illicit enrichment. You know, and then you talk about non-payment of taxes. Non-payment of taxes. Zahra Burton, a couple years ago, you did a report on the PM not paying certain taxes. You did a report on the PM owning certain properties that had no mortgages. And one of the things that we're looking at here, Zahra Burton, is the mere fact that the salaries of the Prime Minister doesn't sit well with all of the richness surrounding the Prime Minister. And some folks are now wondering, how lucky would the Prime Minister be to have someone invest in his money, and every investment that the Prime Minister have made have turned him millions and millions of dollars. Everybody would want to invest with those people. And this is where the report gets really, really troubling now. How could it be, Zahra Burton, that we have a Prime Minister? We're a Prime Minister of a country that really doesn't pay certain taxes or doesn't pay taxes on certain things. You know, we have an individual here who's running for president, who brag about how he pays nil and sometimes no taxes, but he's a convicted felon. He's a convicted felon now, and his businesses have been convicted. So what is the situation in Jamaica with the non-payment of taxes by the Prime Minister? What is that situation?
Well, you are correct that in 2016, when I started my report on the various properties owned by the Prime Minister, I think every single one of them was delinquent, and not for 1 year. Sometimes, you know, people are tardy, whatever, not for 1 year. You're talking about multiple years. In one case, I think there were as many as 7 or even maybe 9 years, but let's say 7 years worth of okay, yeah, 2009 was when the thing was purchased, the property, by Admat Incorporated, which was his St. Lucian entity. And in 2016, when I had checked, I didn't see one red cent paid, right, of property taxes for that particular property, right? So that's multiple years of no tax being paid for property. I confronted him about it on the campaign trail in 2016, and he said he would have to check on it. He subsequently paid the property taxes of all of the outstanding activity on that particular account, right? And he also made up payments of taxes for properties that are he owned, right? So in other words, when he was caught, he paid. But he's on the record with me of saying that each individual should plan their tax affairs. Now, we know that ADMAT Incorporated is a St. Lucian entity. It's now defunct, but when it was set up in 2008, Mr. Honus will tell you, and he told me this on the campaign trail in 16, that he set it up for estate planning. Estate planning, by virtue of what estate planning does, is to plan for taxes and for the avoidance of taxes. Avoidance is legal, evasion is illegal.
Right.
Now, that to me struck a chord with viewers of the program, because what we know is that a prime minister should be somebody who is always talking about, you know, the budget, or let's say the finance minister might be talking about the budget, people need to pay their taxes and all the various bits of it. But as the head of government, why are you setting up yourself to avoid paying taxes? You can understand if you do it, if I do it, or whatever the case might be, is. But somebody who is in government, in my opinion, should be setting the example. And I believe that that was an opinion that was shared with the masses when it came to leaders of our country. And I want to point out, it's not just Mr. Honus. There are several other parliamentarians that have these offshore accounts. One of them, Peter Bunting. One of them, Mark Golding, a opposition leader.
Now, I know that business people oftentimes will set up these things and try to avoid paying their taxes. But you're absolutely correct. The leader of the country should not be one of those individuals. It doesn't matter.
Trying to avoid taxes.
Yes.
When you are the one that set the tax laws for us to follow.
Yes.
And these offshore entities, they cost to maintain every year. There's a cost. And so some of us who are not as wealthy can't afford the cost of setting up these offshore entities, right? So you are setting up yourself now to go pay for an offshore facility where you can legally avoid taxes. That is the Prime Minister.
Wow. A program note here, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Groovin' Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes. This morning, we are in Jamaica. We're taking a look at the Integrity Commission report that was tabled in Parliament a few weeks ago, tabled on the Prime Minister, Dr. Andrew Michael Holness. And it's very, very troubling. Enrichment is one of the things that stands out clearly. But here is something I want to ask Zara Burton. My special guest is from 18 Degrees North, founder and CEO, Miss Zara Burton. Now, 2016, you identified and the Prime Minister was on record about his taxes then. Why didn't the IC started looking, or even the tax department in Jamaica, why didn't they started looking into the avoidance of taxes by the Prime Minister then? Why you think so?
You know, as I said to you, when it comes to the issue of property taxes, mm-hmm. right,
mm-hmm.
it's really something you just make up quickly. You know what I mean? If you're outstanding,
Really?
There's several politicians who are outstanding, I should add. Mm. They just, most of them paid mm. it up. You know, they just say, mm. okay, they were caught and they paid it up. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to raise another point, which is, and this is where I have a problem with the Integrity Commission, because you're talking about the issue of avoidance of taxes. But what I will tell you is, in fact, I'll be releasing a story on my platform. And for those of you interested, my platform, where you can sign up for the news that I do, mm-hmm. investigative journalism, is www.18degreesnorth.tv. So www.18degreesnorth.tv. But I will tell you that the story I'm working on is about how the Integrity Commission, despite 2 years of probing the Prime Minister's finances,
mm-hmm.
they did not probe the source of funding for ADMAT. And ADMAT Incorporated being the St. Lucian entity, and usually these St. Lucian entities are paper companies, so they're usually funded by the person who owns them.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Honus had said it's him and him then teenage children that did own ADMAT. Yeah? So, funded by his own assets. Where did he get the funds to buy these three properties, almost $700,000
wow.
worth of properties between 2008, 2011, without any registered mortgages at all, right?
No mortgages.
Salary, basic salary, is roughly around 60-something thousand, 62,000 low for the year on average
wow.
for each of those years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's not adding up. And so in this report, I'm taking the Integrity Commission to task for the fact that they widened the investigation from the 2021 statutory declaration, which is what was the actual trigger for the investigation. They widened it to 2018 up to 2023 and did not go back further to when ADMAT was first created in 2008.
Mm.
I have a problem with that.
Mm. No. I have a real problem with that too, but you're talking about when you look at the salaries of the Prime Minister, and when you look at securing properties for $700,000+ US, that's a lot of money, and that is eye opening, and it should be eye opening. But here's something I want to.
That much money if you have mortgages, but without mortgages, that's a lot of money.
But also, how do you qualify? What is the qualification requirement then for you? You can't get a mortgage on that kind of salary and that kind of mortgage. But here's something that I find very interesting. Out of the 177 pages that the Integrity Commission tailored, Given companies associated with the Prime Minister were mentioned in the IC report. Four of them were established in 2020, June, July, October, and November. And this is during the pandemic period that donor funds, loans, and grants were flowing into Jamaica. Do you, Zara Burton, do you find this interesting? And what is your take on this? Because these companies were mentioned in the report and they were formed like in the middle of the pandemic when millions of dollars were coming into Jamaica. Isn't that also troubling, Zara Burton? Hmm?
Can I tell you, I've thought about the same exact thing.
Mm.
I've thought about the same exact thing with no proof. I have thought about how is it, especially the media company, Positive Media Solutions, it was set up in 2020. And this company generating millions of dollars worth of revenue, And Mr. Honus, tell the Integrity Commission, say, there are some clients that it has. Mm-hmm. JLP's are clients. Mm-hmm. West Central St. Andrew Trust, which is his constituency. That's his constituency trust. That mm-hmm. entities are clients. He said the Green Emerald mm-hmm. Limited, something like that. Mm-hmm. That is a client, right? And I think there's another client that I'm blanking on at the present, right? Mm-hmm. But that was very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a particular section of the report that said that the Integrity Commission had been looking into whether some of the companies linked to Mr. Honus had gotten government contracts.
Right.
But to be honest with you, I did not see where they mentioned anything. Maybe I missed this part, you mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of things to digest. Mm-hmm. I know they requested it, that information, but I didn't see where they said, yes, these companies got government contracts, because even Mr. Honus has said no public funds were involved here, right? Mm-hmm. He said that on the record. So I don't know if any government funds were in fact involved. However, it occurred to me as well that a media company, which is supposed to do media management and communications and all the various, you know, kind of media things, why start that during the pandemic in 2020? You know, it just strikes me as strange. So, I mean, but, you know, Mr. Honus, let me say this to you. Mm-hmm. He's very business-minded.
Very, yeah.
You know, in terms of ideas for businesses. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's why he's had so many different accounts as well that had to be investigated or looked at. I think they said 28 accounts.
Right.
Because I know him as having been connected to a taxi company. Mm-hmm. I know him as having been connected to, when I say connected, running, mm-hmm. you know, somebody mm-hmm. that used to have a taxi company mm-hmm. and also have a loans business. Those are the two businesses I know that he was associated with, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. This was way back, like, early days in his parliamentary, you know, like in the early 2000s and so on, mm-hmm. right? Or 1990s to 2000. Mm-hmm. He's been a parliamentarian from 97. So I say this to say, I also find it very interesting that this company was set up, and not just company one, mm-hmm. but several companies, as you said, were set up in this period of time. Why? I'm not fully clear on the timing.
There were four companies that were set up, or three companies that were set up, and they're troubling. But here's something you also said earlier on, and a lot of folks have issues with the Integrity Commission and the backbone of the Integrity Commission. But if you go to page 136 of the report, the IC indicated that it told the Prime Minister on or about August 18th, 2023, that and this is coming from the Commission, yeah, that proceeds of his process of the investigation so far, has determined that assets disproportionate to his earning, his lawful earning. So there were some willy-nilly thing happening then that he was told about. But then the IC itself again said they could not make a determination if this have led to illicit enrichment. So you're finding that the disproportionate thing is loud and it's present, and you're seeing it, and you realize that the income from the Prime Minister and everything else doesn't match up, but you haven't seen any kind of illicit enrichment. Is the IC playing games with the Jamaican people?
Well, you know, here's where I fall the IC. I think that they should have engaged the FIB, the Financial Investigations Division, prior to coming out with their publication of the report. So that is where I fault them, and this is the truth. The idea that you're going to recommend that the Parliament, which is mostly JLP people, approve a recommendation to go to the FIB, having tabled it after the fact. I think to me that was either not serious, at best, let's call it a not serious probe, right? Because the IC has an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, with the FIB that was in place prior to this publication. So they could have asked the FID to do something if they really wanted them to do something. But then again, what I will tell you is that Chuck Delroy checked. He's the Justice Minister.
Right.
He was saying, I remember very vocally, that the IC should say who is being investigated for illicit enrichment, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And he was very, very public about that. But know right. that the IC has stated in no uncertain terms that one of the persons was, like, they never said one of the persons, but that we know that the Prime Minister was being investigated. So we interpret that as one of the persons, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Delroy Chuck is now saying, why didn't they go to the FIB prior or something like that, prior to publication? So, you know, I find it a little bit difficult mm-hmm. to manage expectations. Now, if I was at IC, would I conform to what, let us say, Delroy Chuck was arguing for, which is to, you know, come out and name them, or do I follow what I think is right, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so, as I said, my criticism of the IC is the fact that they didn't engage the FID prior to mm-hmm. publishing mm-hmm. what they are publishing. So the IC is not without criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe, as I said, in this particular report, people will see, as I said, you can sign up at www.18degreesnorth.tv. In this particular report, you will see where some of the other deficiencies are where the IC is concerned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, Zahra, there are experts who are tracking this and who have been looking at this since the 177 pages were tailored in the Jamaican Parliament. And folks are saying that if you follow the dots and you follow the dotted lines, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And even having the Prime Minister now going to the Supreme Court in Jamaica and talking about what is unconstitutional, folks are now
trying to get it to be determined as
yes,
unconstitutional.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Folks are now saying, Zahra Burton, that was it that one of the reasons why the Prime Minister and the government formed a new ministry, a Ministry of Legal and Constitutional Affairs, and they were trying to say, okay, this ministry is to deal with Jamaica going republic. But could it mean that ministry that is supposed to be making some adjustment to the Constitution was set up for situations like these? I mean, it's a question, and people are very concerned that the Prime Minister...
Well, I'll tell you what, the more of us that investigate what the Constitutional Reform Committee has done so far, I heard an ad on local radio yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I heard that the report on what they have done so far is now on a particular website, but it's a long website, and I don't remember it right now. So mm-hmm. if people want to Google to see what has been done and what are the recommendations so
mm-hmm.
far,
mm-hmm.
I will have to do that myself as a reporter. I just heard it yesterday. And I think all of us, whether you're here mm-hmm. in Jamaica mm-hmm. or in the diaspora, I think all of us need to go online and find this report to make sure, right, that we are getting what we want. But one of the things I will tell you is that in the previous iteration, even though the public supports an impeachment clause to be added, there was none. And I believe that as a, what you would call it now, a citizenry, mm-hmm. right, if it is that we want something, the committee, mm-hmm. which is doing this whole reform of the Constitution, mm-hmm. should include it. There is a hesitation by our parliamentarians, which is being communicated, in my view, through this committee, that it's not the forum for the impeachment clause.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the public, we want to see it, because there's too much corruption in this country holding us back to achieve the kind of economic growth that we need to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a property in Jamaica on, I think it's Shenstone Drive. There was a $50 million loan with an insurance policy on that property. But approximately 2 weeks after the loan was disbursed, There was no insurance policy. These things are in the report. These things are, this is 50 million Jamaican dollars. These things are in the report. So how is it you have insurance loan, but there's no insurance on these properties? I mean, are we missing something here between the Attorney General Office, the Integrity Commission, the DPP? Are we missing something in all of this, Zahra Burton, with so much eye-popping information that doesn't add up? How is it?
Well, listen, I think that the FID does need to take up the case so that we can get either a full clearance that everything checked out with Mr. Honus, or we can get an indictment in terms of, okay, this is what we have found in terms of illicit enrichment, and we clear up the question once and for all. If there is no illicit enrichment, the FID, I think, needs to state that, because somebody asked me on a different radio program, you know, there was no confirmation or certification of the statutory declaration of Mr. Honus for the 2021 period or 2022 period,
right,
despite this investigation being closed by the IC. The IC referred the matter, and a lot of people, especially within the parliament, are saying, not a lot of people, but within the parliament, the JLP side especially, are saying that the IC should be forced to certify the statutory declarations of Mr. Honus. Now, I said on that program, and I maintain it, it doesn't matter at this point whether the IC is forced to certify that, yes or no. Because the fact that you have to force somebody to do something, even if they do it, there will still be an overhang on Mr. Honus's finances.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And as I've said to you before, despite reading everything that is there, yes, the Integrity Commission has its issues. But after reading everything there, I realize that a further probe is necessary. But where they're probing is where I have the issue. I believe that the probe should have gone way back to about 2007, even before that, to see what was the source of funds for when these properties were purchased.
Right.
In 2008 to 2011, I maintain that those are the biggest question marks, and in my opinion, they were overlooked by the Integrity Commission. So the FID, as far as I'm concerned, I hope when they do their probe, if they do their probe, they will look back at that period.
It seems to me there's no checks and balance here. And there's also, I think, eight members in Parliament who they say are being probed, but there's a gag order on all of that. But you know, again, it's not just the Prime Minister, that folks need to be looking into in Jamaica. There's also another minister, and I think it's the Minister of Health, that it was reported that Dr. Christopher Tufton opened a funeral home sometime during the COVID-19 period. You know, and folks are saying that this is the Minister of Health who was supposed to be protecting and making sure that the people of Jamaica are safe and everything. But at the same time, again, folks are saying, I wonder if he was trying to enrich himself because so many people were dying from the COVID-19 situation then. And in the middle of the pandemic, we have the minister opening up a funeral home. So all of these news have become troubling.
He was opening up a funeral home. I never see that report. What I had seen was that there was a counselor in his division, right? Whose funeral home became the authorized, government-authorized funeral home to pick up bodies. So if you die in Kingston, your body, there were reports, could be taken all the way to Spanish Town by this funeral home. Now, you're saying something different, that he opened up a funeral home.
Well,
I've never heard that before.
That was the news that we got here in the diaspora. So maybe you have the news correct and they twisted it. Maybe. So I mean, how could a funeral home become the official government funeral home then? That's where the question lies. That is where
A lot of people had objections because the previous official funeral home for Kingston was Tranquility, and that was here in Kingston. So it's easier for you, an easier trek if your loved one dies in Kingston, to go and deal with the body in Kingston rather than having to go to Spanish Town, right? So there were a lot of people that had issues with how that contract was awarded. I believe that the name of the, I can't remember the name of the funeral. I think it's something like Arches, but I'm not fully sure about the name.
Now, let me ask you a question. You're on the ground in Jamaica, and this report is loud, and it is it has circulated itself. It's around the world, and there are so many questions about the Integrity Commission report. What you think the end result is going to be? Is there any kind of indication where this is going to end up?
You know, I think this is anyone's guess, you know, because the TAJ, for instance, has refused to state explicitly that it has taken up the case. It was asked by, I think, a Gleaner journalist, and I guess because of all the privacy around taxes and their returns and that kind of thing, and I've encountered some issues from my reporting as well where finding out information about people's taxes is concerned. I've encountered issues too. So he refuses to say, the FID, I've contacted them, and the person I reached out to just says no comment. So where does that leave us? You know, I am concerned about that. I'm concerned that we don't have a definitive direction about where this goes. What I do know is that the opposition had brought a motion to, you know, basically recommend that that I think the FID probe it, and it didn't go anywhere at the Integrity Oversight Committee. The Integrity Oversight Committee as well was supposed to meet at, I think it was October 3, and they were supposed to have the Integrity Commission come and testify, and that did not happen on that date. I don't know if it happened this week. I don't recall it happening this week unless I missed it. But I think that that's going to be very good theater to see what the Integrity Commission has to say for itself about this report, because I do think it will fill in some gaps. I have a frustration with the Integrity Commission in that even when a report comes out, you would think that they would be at that point able to answer questions. I asked them the question, why didn't you probe ADMAT? No response. They have a way of not responding to questions even after the tabling. So there's this gag clause that gags them before an investigation. But even after the tabling of the investigation, I find that they're also mum, and I have a problem with that. And so hearing them testify before the parliament, I will hear how some of these things went, you know, and hopefully get answers to some of the questions that I have, because this report was not perfect. A lot of people criticize it and say there's really nothing there against the Prime Minister. I believe that there was quite a few things there that could be probed further. So I'm not prepared to say there was nothing there, you know. I believe that all the cash that was running through the various accounts, okay, if it's up and up money, fine. We give a check mark to say it's good money and all clear, right? No problem. But I think the probe is extremely important to say we have a prime minister that is good and honest, and we give him a check mark. I want that from them.
You know, even this ADMAT company and the transferring of properties between ADMAT and Imperium and the timing and all of this, even these things, Stevie Wonder could see through these things that something ain't right here. The timing, when these companies were open, when monies were given, when loans were taken, when companies were transferred from one company to the other company, all the movements of these things, even the movements of the Prime Minister's association with accounts with SSL, even those movements have raised a lot of questions, because the timing of these things, Zara Burton, it doesn't look right. So in hindsight, anyone with, as they say, common sense, even though we know sense is not common, because if it was, everybody would have sense. But in hindsight, even somebody with common sense can figure this out, that something is not right. Something is not right. Companies close after you got millions of dollars. Companies reveal that there's no insurance after you got millions of dollars. But the person who they're looking at here is the leader of the country. So what is the average Jamaican supposed to do and think when they see and hear these things, Aura Burton?
I think it's going to be hard. As I said, even if they were forced to certify the statutory declaration of the Prime Minister, it's going to be extremely hard, in my view, for people, the average man, to cross the threshold to say, okay, our Prime Minister is completely fit and proper, right? Mm. The average person is not going to be able to do that right away. It might fade and people say, yeah, man, I'm good, right? And I hear a few people say, oh, Prime Minister Honest, I see it on the TV, you know, one person came on and talked about that. You know, he has his supporters, right? But I'm saying most people, I would say to you in Jamaica, right, see this as an overhang on the Prime Minister. And I believe that is why he's going for a judicial review, because he believes that in getting the judicial review to basically quash in people's minds, I think this is about winning public opinion. Yeah. I think if a judge looks at the report and decides that, yes, the Integrity Commission messed up and they did this wrong and they did that wrong, and that, of course, will be reported on by us as reporters, and it will filter through to the public's minds to say, okay, the Integrity Commission did this wrong and that wrong, and we're going to clear, we're going to certify the Prime Minister and all the various, you know, like make the Integrity Commission certify him. I do believe that it will matter. So I think that the Prime Minister trying to get this judicial review, he, in his mind, knows what he is doing. In some people's minds, though, the fact that he has to go down this road also speaks volumes to some of us, you know? So it just depends on which side of the aisle you're on or how you see the situation.
Okay. Let's tie this into what happened here in New York and in the United States to the former President Donald Trump. His business was convicted by New York State Attorney General Tish James. Here's the question. Because Donald Trump, chief financial officer, Mr. Weisberg, he was the first one to be convicted. He was the first one to plead guilty before Mr. Trump himself and the company were found guilty. Question, as we tie this into the Integrity Commission report. So the Prime Minister have all these companies in Jamaica. Do they have chief financial officers who run these companies? And were they ever investigated? Were they ever probed? Do you know of any?
They were probed by the IC. So when you said that, were they ever probed, this is what the report was about.
No, but what I'm saying,
the report talked about how about $470-something million, this is Jamaican dollars, had run through these companies, intercompany transactions, right? That is what the report came out and said. It also said that the companies, and I will talk about the companies, it's Imperium Investments Holdings, which was after ADMAT was wound down in 2021, the assets were transferred to Imperium, and the only investor or shareholder of Imperium is Mr. Honest, the only one on record. Then there is Estate Bridge Development Limited. There's a bunch of people included in that, including Norman Brown, who is the head of HAJ, the Housing Agency of Jamaica, and also UDC. And even though he reports to the Prime Minister, who is also Minister of Housing, for some reason, they're involved in private transactions together, which the Integrity Commission frowned on as a potential conflict of interest.
Right.
And I think that resonated with the public as well. But Estate Bridge is backed by Norman Brown, his son, which is Adam Honest, his sister, Sajia Anderson, and I think it was Imperium at one point, which is his firm, right? Although I think Imperium eventually came off or something like that. I can't fully remember. But so it's Estate Bridge, as I said, Imperium. Then there's Positive Media Solutions, which was set up in 2020. Behind that company was him, well, Imperium at first. Then it was transferred to his other son, which is Matthew Honest, and Mark Azan. Mark Azan is a businessman. He used to own Azan's Fabrics downtown. He doesn't anymore. But he had one share, and I think the other 99 are controlled by Matthew Honus, which is Mr. Honus's son.
Right.
So there's Positive Media Solutions as well. And then, so those are the three substantive ones. But then there's also Positive Jamaica Foundation that is a company with a charitable purpose. Mm-hmm. And there was in the report a statement that said, and I've reported quite a bit on this on my website, Positive Jamaica Foundation, because from way before now, I had questions about how Positive Jamaica Foundation was being funded, who was funding it, and how was money being spent.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a whole article on this. And if you go to my website, again, www.18degreesnorth.tv, you can read about Positive Jamaica Foundation. But in the report, I want to point out, right,
mm-hmm.
that there was a bond purchase for US $94,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this was in 2019. And some of the money that was used to purchase this bond came from Positive Jamaica Foundation. No, the IC looked down on this transaction because they felt like money from the so-called charity was being used to essentially enrich Mr. Honus, because the revenue that was generated from the bond, the returns, were going into, I believe it's into Imperium, which is Mr. Honus essentially, right? Being that he's the only shareholder behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they pointed that out to the company that did the transaction, which was NCB Capital Markets, the Mr. Honus, as I said, he, I think it was in after June of this year,
mm-hmm.
made the change so that Positive Jamaica Foundation received the benefits that it was entitled to, because some of the funds, yes, came from him personally, but some of the funds had also come from Positive Jamaica. So he delineated and said, okay, so the returns that should go back to Positive Jamaica, let it go back to Positive Jamaica. So the point is that the IC kind of looked down on that co-mingling that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
However, in his defense, one of the things that came out in this request for judicial review, he said it's not a full charity. And it's not. I've done the investigation. It's not a tax-exempt charity. It's basically a non-profit, yes. And he calls it a charity.
But it's not.
But it's a non-profit registered at the company's office only, which means that it's essentially a company that Mr. Honus for the longest time has controlled.
Wow.
He's no longer director, but the point is that he was chairman of it and everything, and he was running it, you know?
Okay.
And so here it is. He was branding it as a charity, telling people, you know, oh, mm-hmm. he's donating mm-hmm. such and such
right,
to
right.
whether it's, you know, mustard seed communities, whether
right.
it's for scholarships, whether it's to the COVID-19 telethon. All those were publicized on the Facebook page of this Positive Jamaica Foundation, right? So you get the impression it's a charity,
mm-hmm.
but in the actuality of it, it's not a fully registered charity.
Wow.
And I've been pointing out to the public in
yes.
my stories that this charity deserves a lot of scrutiny, because who pays the piper is the one that calls the tune. Who is it that is donating to this charity over the years since it was set up in 2011 to know? Who has been donating to it? And what have they gotten in return?
In return.
I want to know that information.
Wow.
The ECJ
wow.
should want to know that information. That's the Electoral Commission of Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
During election period, around 180 days after the election, they ask, they've not just asked, require that each parliamentarian send over who were their donors and how much did they donate.
Mm.
We, as members of the public, do not see that information.
Mm.
It is private, which is a problem in and of itself. The other problem is that this 180-day cap around election period does not take into consideration other donations that are made during non-election periods, and that is years. As you know, it's every 5 years that constitutionally elections are due in Jamaica.
Right.
So when you just have 180 days around election period, you can imagine the kind of donations that are coming in
wow.
when it's non-election period, right?
Wow.
And not being reported.
Wow.
So I believe that we need to have year-round reporting to
yeah.
the ECJ, and that these charities of these politicians, because it's not just Mr. Honus.
Right.
There's one connected to Nigel Clark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the politicians on the PMP side as well. Julian mm-hmm. Robinson is included in that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Phillips, he was also tied to one in my research, right? Although I heard that his own was not functional.
Right.
My point is that there are a lot of politicians that have these charities, and nobody is focused on the money that is running through these charities. Nigel Clark can get big posts over at the IMF, and I'm here to tell you that, in my opinion, Nigel Clark's charity should be investigated, because unlike Positive Jamaica Foundation, which is a company that has a charitable purpose, Nigel Clark's Growth and Opportunity Trust is a tax-exempt. They've now paid a tax on this foundation, right? And so the fact that $90 million has run through that foundation, right? $84 million spent.
Hold on.
Problem.
Is this
no accountability.
Is this $90 million Jamaican or U.S.? Huh?
This is Jamaican.
Oh, Jamaican. Okay.
When it was set up. To 023,
right.
$90 million Jamaican has gone to Growth and Opportunity Trust.
That's a lot of money still.
No indication as to where this money come from. When I asked the finance minister, Dr. Clark, who is your donor, him said to me, him don't have to give me that information because it's not legally required. He's done what he needs to do in terms of his reporting that is filed to the DCFS, which is the Department of Cooperative and Friendly Societies that oversees the charities of this country. And as a result of their rules and their legislation, they do not share that information. Can you imagine? You have a tax-exempt organization, you know,
and
States.
Yes.
When you have a charity that's tax-exempt, that information is fully public, you know.
It is
your
public.
Your tax return,
listen.
You get to see how much was running through the company, right? You get to see more granular information as well.
Okay,
like
okay.
In terms of even, I think, some of the big donors, I think some of them might be, I'm not sure about that. But the point is there's a lot more information that is filed in the U.S. that
yes.
is public, and that is how they were able to track Donald Trump's
yes.
charity.
Yes,
that charity was, I don't know if you remember when he was fined, like,
yes.
I think
yes.
it was like $2 million U.S., right? Based on the reporting that this Washington Post reporter had done from looking at the filings from the IRS, that the IRS made public, right?
Wow.
Of his charity.
You know, you know.
So my point is that without the information, it will be very difficult for us as reporters to get to the bottom of these charitable foundations like Nigel Clark's own.
To
me, if you have a charity that is a registered tax-exempt charity, there should be a whole heap of transparency.
Indeed,
the
indeed.
The only thing we're able to get is that company's office that says how much you brought in
it should
and
be.
How much you spent. And when you look at the $84 million spent, all he has is something like special
okay, so,
special projects or something like that,
yeah.
some vague term.
So
right?
it should
no
be.
Indication as to how the money was spent. And guess what? Here's the kicker. This foundation was set up for the benefit of his constituency, which is Northwest St. Andrew. That councillors, you know, you have councillors at
yes,
the local
yes,
level.
Yes.
I contacted the three of them in that constituency, and I said to them, have you ever heard of this Growth and Opportunity Trust? None of them had heard about Growth and Opportunity Trust.
Okay.
And Growth and Opportunity Trust is set up for the benefit of that constituency.
Wow. So
one who didn't comment.
Yeah.
Right? One didn't comment.
All right. So
the other two didn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
One of them said they knew he had a foundation.
Right.
But they don't know that they've ever benefited from that foundation.
All right. We're
there's also the Constituency Development Fund, which may have given them some money
all right.
from that. For different projects.
All right, we're going to leave that there because I want to close out with this because it seems as if everything that the PM has done in terms of some of his businesses, it was all family connected. And I have yet to see any of these chief financial officers, not the company itself, the chief financial officers who's supposed to be handling the monies of these companies. I've yet to see any of them being probed in Jamaica. And you, Zara Burton, you have done many stories on these funny money charities that politicians in Jamaica are in charge of. And it needs to stop. We need to see transparency here. What I want to close on, Zara Burton, because as a journalist, news coming out of Jamaica this week was about journalists being threatened and journalists being tied to this and journalists being tied to that. And I've done quite a few stories on journalism in Jamaica and media houses in Jamaica, if they're state-funded, if they're state-owned and stuff like that. And it's kind of heart-wrenching to hear some of these stories about how journalists in Jamaica are some of them are living in fear, and some of them are very nervous to do their work. You find that troubling, right, Zahra Burton? And that's where we're going to close, huh?
Being a journalist in Jamaica, I will say to you, is better than being a journalist in places like Haiti.
Yes. Yeah? Yeah, sure.
But we don't really want to compare ourselves to Haiti.
And we shouldn't. Okay? And we shouldn't. Go ahead.
So, I will say to you, that I know that I have had feelings of insecurity around my reporting.
Right.
I remember there was a particular time, somebody I know, I had called him about something, and he had a particular line of work where he would track criminals. And he and I would talk from time to time. And he said, you know, you really need to watch your back, because somebody called me the other day and they were saying they wanted me to track your vehicle and do a profile of you and stuff. And I turned down the job. And, you know, because he said to the person, I only track criminals, I don't track journalists. That's what he communicated to me.
Wow.
And that was the scariest thing that I've gone through.
Troubling.
And it was scary because even one time I remember I felt around the same particular period of time before he even, well, I don't remember if it was before or after, but around that same time as well, I really distinctly recall that I felt like I was being followed by a vehicle behind me, you know? And we've had other experiences that journalists aren't as vocal about, where journalists get robbed, like their computer will go missing, right? I know one journalist whose computer, I think his files were stolen. So you have that kind of thing.
Right.
You have the whole issue of public shaming by some of the politicians who I think have taken it to the nth level. And I think they need to dial it back tremendously. And this is on both sides of the aisle, okay, PNP and GLP, you know. We had Nationwide News, if you remember, there was a shoot-up of Nationwide News some time back.
Yes.
In the last maybe 1 year or so period,
one or
2 years. And I still don't know what has come of that. Nobody was hurt, but the point is there was a shoot-up of the outside of the premises.
Nothing came from it. Nothing came from it. And we cannot sugarcoat it. Nothing came from it. And it's, you talk about dialing back. No, we need to dial it down. We need to dial it down and get rid of it, because it is obvious that journalists in Jamaica are not really up to journalists in Jamaica. They're worried. Some of them are worried about their back and worried about doing their job. But I want to leave it there, Ms. Zahra Burton, because I tell you, and somebody just sent me, I just got a message about a town hall that we should actually host a town hall on this, because the PM came here. The PM came here to New York, and I wasn't able to attend the event, but no one in the audience of a couple hundred people asked the Prime Minister about the IC report. And I find that very troubling. I find that very, very troubling. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our featured segment, Mic Check, Sparking Global Change. My very special guest, and I want you to subscribe, listeners. Subscribe to 18 Degree North. Follow Zahra Burton. Follow her very interesting stories. She is a very, very good journalist, folks, and she needs to be supported, and her work needs to be supported. So we say, support Zahra Burton. The conversation this morning, the IC report on Jamaica's Prime Minister, Andrew Michael Olness. Thank you so much for your time, Ms. Burton. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, listeners, for having me. I really appreciate you, and thank you for having me on, Rasklim.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon, Zahra.
Okay, bye.
One love, one love. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Zahra Burton, the founder and CEO of 18 Degrees North. We have come to the end of Mic Check.